We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Just take your time. Just give five people a high five. Just say welcome to church. Just random people, someone that you haven't spoken to, just give them a good high five and say welcome to church. Hallelujah. Welcome to church, brother. Hallelujah. And amen. If it's your first time joining us this morning at Sheffield Community Church, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. You know, we love to have guests. A home is meant to have guests. So thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to have you here. May you stick with us afterwards and let's have fellowship. Let's get to know you. As you can see that the front, this empty, the front row, that's because the senior pastor and his wife are not here with us. They've traveled. They're actually in Vienna Lighthouse this morning. So they're there to encourage Pastor David and his wife, Yvette Kagbo, and the Vienna Church. So they're attending church there. And then I believe from tomorrow they will be traveling to Germany, either today or tomorrow, Germany, where they'll be attending a Salt and Light European conference. So may we keep them in prayers as they travel to do God's work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get into the word. There's this story that I heard this week. There's this story that I heard. Basically, there was this man. You know, this man was saved. He gave his life to Christ, born again believer, and so on. You know, church attender, tither, and everything, you know, born again Christian. But yet, you know, he had a little issue where you know he was still struggling to you know to quench his thirst. You know, a particular thirst that he was still struggling to quench. You know, like that was his. You know, like you know, he was always. That's what I'm trying to say. He was always thirsty. And quench this thirst. So he traveled. He you know, he saw a lovely bottle, and he picked up that bottle, right? He's like, oh, this bottle is nice, you know, it's very expensive bottle. So he, you know, in his bag, part of this bottle, he's like, yo, this bottle will help me quench a special thirst. So as he landed back, right, little did he know that he's same day. So, and then his pastor sees him with a bottle. As soon as he sees his pastor, guess he has what the bottle was. He has the bottle. So his pastor comes to him and says, "You, I'm fine, pastor. How are you, pastor?" He's like, pastor. So the pastor says, so why is your hand in your jacket pocket? You know, why are you hiding?" And he says, "No, pastor. It's a water bottle. Pastor, I've just come back from, from the Holy Land, you know, from Samaria. I went into Jacob's well, and I took some water from Jacob's well. So that's the water I'm carrying right now." But the pastor, like a water bottle. He's like, "No, show me that bottle." He's like, "No, pastor, just the water. Show me that bottle." Eventually, he brings up the bottle. He's like, "Oh, wow, pastor, the Lord has done it again." If you get it, you get it. The Lord has done water into wine. There we go. God, so thank you so much, church, for the senior pastors or the pastoral team and the elders who are here giving me this opportunity to share the word to God. I'm just going to take us through John chapter 4. We're obviously going through our series called Advancing the Kingdom of God. Advancing the Kingdom of God. So we're going to look at John chapter 4 today. So just turn your Bible into John chapter 4 if you're there. I'm using the NIV version today, and I'm sure the media team will project it on the screen for us if you don't have it. The Bible says, John chapter 4. Now, the Bible says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisee had heard that he was going that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not. Media team, can you just lower me slightly, please? I think I'm a bit too loud. Though, in fact, it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. 3. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of Jacob's, near of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. 7. When a Samaritan woman came to water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to town to buy. May the Lord's word. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, even as we pray this, our frequencies will be tuned to the frequency of heaven, that miracles, that marvels may happen in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 4, it's an interesting text where we the lower part. Now there's just so much we can learn from this text. A lot, as I was studying this text and preparing for this, it's just amazing how much we can, you know, how much stuff we can learn from this. So John chapter 4 gives us an account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, Jacob. Now, in this text, we see we see the master himself at work. Jesus himself was demonstrating how it is to draw a person with either no interest or little interest of the things of God. How it is to draw a person close to him with either no interest or little interest in the things of God. So, if you're writing notes, pardon me, today I'm speaking to us on the subject, advancing the kingdom of God, one-to-one conversation. Advancing the kingdom of God through one-to-one conversations. Now, here we see Jesus, God, through one-to-one conversation with a Samaritan woman. Now, last week, Jesus sent up area called Capernaum, which was mostly a non-Jewish territory. But he set up camp. From there, that's where Jesus camp. Now, the Bible says in chapter 4, it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. I'm emphasizing this for a reason. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, it's easy to read through this well-known passage of Scripture and just quickly skip. But it's important that we sit on the Word of God and we analyze everything. Language is very important. The writer could have said, "Now, Jesus went through Samaria." But what did he say? "Now, Jesus had to go through Samaria." Why is that? What's significant about Samaria? Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? Now, it sounds to me that Jesus was very intentional about going through Samaria. Yeah. About going through Samaria. He had to go there. Jesus had an appointment with a Samaritan woman. Now, why is this important? The Jews and the Samaritans never actually saw eye to eye. No, they never saw eye to eye. So taking us back in 1722 BC, the city of Samaria fell into the hands of the Syrians. The Syrians settled in that city and made the city of Samaria the headquarters, where they settled and the foreigners. And what actually happened was the Jews that were in that area, guess what happened? They intermarried with foreigners. All right, the intermarried with foreigners. Now, finally, when the Jews were coming back from captivity, from Babylon, now they're coming back to their homelands. Now they're meeting these Samaritans who were Jews but not Jews. So the Jewish saw the Samaritans as these half. Half. So basically, now we have, we have ethnic issue, we have a racial issue, and we also have a religious issue, because they were intermingling, because they had the religion and then had the religion. So Jewish, they're like, no. What you're doing is wrong. You're part of us because you are half. You are not us. So basically, long story short, they never saw eye. They never actually saw eye to eye. Now, here we go. Now we have Jesus going through Samaria. What's interesting about this text is that it really shows us the heart of God, the heart of the kingdom of God to the rejected, to the lost, and to the least. Advancing of God to the rejected, to the least, and to the lost. What's amazing about chapter 4 is that it proves in John speaking to Nicodemus, he says, for you to be saved, you need to be born again. Nicodemus said, what do you mean born again? What does that mean? And to be born again. And then finally, Jesus says in John 3:16, the scripture we know very well, he says, for God that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that was John 3:16. Now in John 4, we see the master now demonstrated in John chapter 3. Beautiful text. It's absolutely beautiful. What can we learn from this text? The kingdom of God. We talk about a very important theme, advance the kingdom of God, but how did Jesus himself advance the kingdom of God? We can learn from this. Jesus advanced the kingdom speaking to unusual guys. Advanced the kingdom of God by speaking to unusual candidates. Chapter 4, media team, help me. Now, he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Now, even though from where Jesus was to Judea, Jesus was from Judea going back to Galilee, where he was, going through Samaria was the shortest route. Not all Jews went through Samaria. As a matter of fact, there was another strict Jews. What they would do is they would go to the Jordan River where Jesus already was, the Jordan River, and then they would go up, they'll go up east, and then they'll go up north and travel all the way down to the west for them to get to Galilee. They will go around, across the Jordan River. So the easiest thing for the Lord to do, because he was in the Jordan River, was for him to simply, Lord, he says, no, I'm not going around an issue that you've always gone around. Through Samaria. I'm going right through it. Why? Because I have a divine appointment with an unusual candidate. I have with a Samaritan woman. That's the Lord. Wow. We don't know the Samaritan's name or the Samaritan woman's name. We don't. But the one thing we do know that she had a reputation. She had a reputation on her. Verse 5, the Bible says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Jesus, as tired as he was, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. There he was. Light of the world, sitting down and waiting, waiting and waiting. and waiting. Church, think about that. Light of the world, who came down, sat down by the well, waiting and waiting and waiting. See, what's interesting, a well is, you know, we all go to our well. No, we all have our well. Whether you are in healthcare, whether you are in finance, whether you are in education, whether you are rich or poor, eventually you will go to the well. Surely you will thirst for the well and go to it. And Jesus is there waiting. I want to remind someone this morning that Jesus is waiting for you. The light of the world, he is waiting for you at the well. Wow. The same time for women to come and draw water at the well was early mornings or sometimes later in the afternoon. But we see this woman coming to draw water in the afternoon. Now, we don't know exactly why, but it's believed that she could draw water at a time she knew she would be herself. She came to a time when she knew she would be by herself. Because, you see, her lifestyle was... Oh, yeah. Her lifestyle, you know, things were not straightforward. Things were complicated. See, other women they were not particularly fond of her because her lifestyle was complicated. Her lifestyle, she had a reputation on her. There she comes alone in the afternoon. See, have you ever met someone whose life was complicated? Someone who had a reputation. No, we all saved here. All our friends are saved, so we haven't. Now, we're praying, believing that we will advance the kingdom of God. As we advance the kingdom of God, the Lord will begin to bring people in our midst whose lives are complicated. When life is complicated, when someone has, you know, some in the past, some people I've met in the past, they have a reputation of helping themselves to things. So when the Lord begins to lead us to people who have, you know, or to people who have reputations, you know, like, as you begin to walk handbags, good morning with your handbag, because they have a reputation. See, when this lady walked into a function, guess what happened? People were clinching to their spouses. If your spouse ushering that day, you're ushering with your spouse. Spouse in prison worship, you in prison worship. If your spouse is serving tea that morning, guess what? You are serving their spouse because the Samaritan woman was in. Other women were not. So she chose to come to the well when there was no one. But little did she know that she will encounter a Jewish man. Who had the audacity to engage her in a different kind of conversation. And the Jewish man says, "Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?" Church, when was the last time we intentionally engaged a conversation within a new of advancing the kingdom of God? When was the last time we stopped and said, you know what? Let me say hi to Jimmy. Let me say hi to Susie. Let me say hi to last time we advanced the kingdom of God. The Lord said to her, give me a drink. Oh, a shield, you don't understand. Nowadays it's very popular to begin a conversation with a stranger. But guess what? Back in those days, it was absolutely unacceptable for a Jewish public, let alone a it was unpopular. See, Jesus starting a conversation, asking this woman for water was absolutely shocking to the society. And if you think that was shocking, for Jesus to intentionally lead the conversation towards spiritual things was off the charts shocking to the society. Him beginning conversation. Will you give me a drink of water? Will you give me a drink? Now, the Samaritan woman was just going about her day-to-day chores, just going about her business, minding her own business. Her lifestyle probably caused her to keep her. What I'm trying to say is, she wasn't looking for God, but God was seeking. She was not looking for God, but God was seeking after her. Verse 9 says, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" In the business of seeking for unusual candidates. Jesus is in the business of seeking for unusual candidates. That is his business. That's why he came to here to earth. That's why he left heaven and entered time, to seek for unusual candidates. Once upon you and I were unusual candidates, but he was seeking for us. Everyone is welcomed in the kingdom of God. No matter what your story is, no matter what your story was, no matter what your reputation is, everyone is welcomed in the kingdom of God. And you are special to the Lord. He is seeking after you. He came for you. Someone told me once that, Ashil, even if you're the only person here on earth, Jesus would still have had to come and died for you because you are special to him. Church, I want to remind someone that you are special to Christ. He is seeking for you. Let me prove it to you. In John chapter 13, let me just see if you can help me out. Matthew 13. Give me Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Honestly, look at this. You are special to me. Take me to verse 45, pardon me. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. The Bible says, Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like. Says, it's like a merchant found one of great value. Guess what he did? He went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. When he finds that one fine pearl, he goes away and sells everything else he had. And he came and he bought that fine pearl. You are that fine pearl to the Lord. He left heaven and entered time so that he can make a connection with you and I. You are that fine pearl to him. In order to have you. He's seeking for you exactly as you are. You are special to him. What else can we learn from this text? Number two, how else did the Lord advance the kingdom of God? The second lesson we can learn is that the Lord advanced the kingdom of God by offering eternal life. By offering eternal life. Verse 9 says, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." There we go. And 10. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Wow. Okay. See, what's interesting about water? Water being used here as a metaphor. What's interesting about water is that we all thirst for it. All of us thirst for it. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, right? And darkness was over the surface of the deep, which is water, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. Water is very interesting. We all thirst for it. 75% of our body is made of water. Yeah. They say that if they were to leave you in a desert somewhere, you know, with no food, no drink, they said likely you're to die first of dehydration than you are of starvation. Water is important. Our bodies need water. We thirst for it. And here is Jesus offering this woman living waters. Now, if there's living waters, surely there's also dead waters, correct? So, we have the Samaritan woman here. She's almost in the middle. She's caught up in the middle. Well, and then she has Jacob's well, living waters. And she's caught up in the middle. She's torn into two. Like, okay, what should I do? What should I go for? What do I need? Do I need Jacob's well or do I need living waters? Jacob's well, living water. See, Jacob's well, that habit, that little habit that, you know, that started very, very small, innocent habit, and now is becoming a stumbling block. Jacob's well, that thing that you want so much to escape from, but you keep finding yourself back to it, that is Jacob's well. And then living waters. My question this morning, church, is what well are you drinking from? What is your well? What well are you drinking from? Jacob's well, living waters. The Samaritan came face to face with the living water. But to her, it was too simple. It was way, way too simple. I like to think that, you know, that she lived a life where good things didn't happen to people like her. So now she's caught in the middle with a dilemma. He's like, you know, is this true? Is this, no, this is way too easy. It's way too easy. Verse 10 again. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, right, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. You would have asked him and given you living waters. That was chapter, you know, verse 10. And then she brings everything into it, you know, just so that she can fight it. She's like, who are you? You don't even have anything to draw waters from. Where are you getting this water from? Oh, are you greater than our father Abraham, who gave us water from this well? You know, she brings culture, she brings religion, she brings all these excuses, and so on. And then finally, she gives up in chapter 15 when she says, this was, she says, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Finally, from verse 10, five verses after, she's like, you know what? Fine, sir, give me this water so that I don't have to keep getting thirsty and keep coming here again. Finally, give me this living water. What's amazing about the living water that Jesus offers is that it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Bible tells us that for it is by grace that you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. The living waters that Jesus offers is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Church, this simple truth transformed my life. This simple truth absolutely transformed my life. Before I met Christ, I too was like the Samaritan woman. Yeah, I was. I drank from Jacob's well. The well that it quenched my thirst temporarily, but it's never actually satisfied me. And so I kept on going back and forth to draw water, back and forth to draw water, back and forth to draw water, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It quenched my thirst temporarily, but it never actually satisfied me. Until one day, one morning, in this very building, I was asked a question. I was asked a question. And the question was, Ashil, suppose you were standing before God, and he asks you, why should I let you into heaven, Ashil? What would you tell him? Because I lived a life where, you know, where good things didn't happen to people like me, where good things didn't come so easily. So I stood there answering the question, justifying myself. I'm a good person. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do that. I've never killed anyone. I do this, I do this, I do that. And eventually, this simple truth was broken into me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace, Ashiel, that you are saved through faith. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God so that you cannot boast. I stand here before God's people, not able to boast. I can try, but I'm not able to boast. Why? Because of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Because of the living water that the Lord has offered me. It is a gift. It is a gift. And that gift is available to you this morning. It's available to you. It is available to you. And all you have to do is ask. Can I have this water so that I won't keep thirsting again? All you have to do is ask. Ask for that water. I'm reminded of the thief on the cross. Of the thief on the cross. I'm reminded by that thief. I would when I meet that thief in heaven, I would love to ask him, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with him. I would literally love to have a conversation with him. You know, on that cross, there were three men. You know, one on the right, one on the left, and the Lord in the middle. And one was pouncing insult to Jesus Christ. Like, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Get away from this cross then. Prove it. And then there was one man, one thief on the cross. He was like, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord says, fine. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, I often imagine this man, you know, standing in line, queue. You know, one queue is going the other side, the other queue is going into heaven. And finally, he reaches, you know, the help desk of heaven. You know, and I ask him, okay, so what's your name? My name is so-and-so. He gives his name. They're like, oh, okay. So, yeah, we can see here that you were a professional thief. You did this and this and that. And then they're like, okay, so clearly you are here. So, do you know anything about the doctrine of forgiveness? He's like, excuse me, what's that? An angel asks, okay, so do you know anything about the doctrine of Jesus Christ? He'll be like, no, I don't understand. What are you on about? And the angel finally asks him, so what are you doing in this queue? Why should we let you into heaven? I like to imagine the thief on the cross simply said, the man in the middle cross said, I can come. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest no man boast. It is the man in the middle cross said, I can come. That man in the middle cross is also giving you an invitation this morning. He says, come. No matter what your reputation is, come. Come to me and drink living waters. Come. An invitation is going to you this morning. All you have to do is accept it, confess it. What confession are you making this morning, church? What is your confession to the Lord this morning? My time is running out. Finally, the third lesson we can learn from this text on how the Lord advanced the kingdom of God, how the Master advanced the kingdom of God, is that he advanced it by teaching the word of God. The Master taught the word of God. He taught the word of God. See, her life seemed good. Her life seemed okay. You know, her life seemed like she didn't need anything from anyone. She seemed fine. You know, yeah, she was getting on. She had a job. You know, yeah, she did not need anything from anyone. Her life seemed fine. So she thought. Verse 16, the Bible says, he, Jesus, told her, go call your husband and come back. And she said, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. And the man, you know, then the man that you are now living with is not your husband. So what you have said is quite true. What you have said is quite true. Jesus tells her about herself. No, I don't mean, I don't mean telling her about herself. No. Jesus tells her about herself. Jesus reveals to her information that was classified. She's marveled. How do you know that? He tells her about herself. He speaks the word of God to her. The word. What's amazing about the word of God, church, is the word of God does not only does it reveal God to us, but it also reveals us to us. The word of God reveals us. It exposes us to us also. And that's what the word of God did here to her. That's what the word of God did here to her. The word of God, it helps us see the conditions of our hearts, the conditions of our attitude, and the condition of our lives. That's what it does. It exposes. When Jesus spoke the word of God to her, that word exposed all her classified information to her. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and then the Holy Spirit drops a word to you? I want to encourage us, as we leave this theme, Advancing the Kingdom of God, as we are having those intentional conversations, ask the Holy Spirit to drop you a word. When that word comes, and you say that word, often that word becomes, often when we hear that word, it's easy to think, no, this is just me. No, trust the Holy Spirit. If you are intentionally praying about it, trust Him and say that word. Often people will be like, huh? How do you know that? How do you know about me? And that's where the conversation goes. It goes, Jesus spoke the word to her. See, asking her for water engaged her. Right? And then offering her living waters captured her attention. And the word of God exposed everything. It tore down the veil that she had. That blockade that she had in front of her, that wall came down because of the word of God. I'm reminded of this. I'll never forget this. One day I sat down watching a documentary. I like watching animal documentaries, especially on Sundays and so on. I remember it was a Sunday after church in the evening. I was watching a documentary. Now, within this documentary, it was in the safari. There was obviously a tour guide and a doctor. So they were going around in the safari looking at animals, talking about these animals and so on, or different type of animals and their behaviors and so on. And then eventually, they came across a zebra. You probably have heard me say this because I'll never forget this. They came across a zebra, a dead zebra, a young dead zebra. And there was one hyena eating the zebra. Now, if you know your animal stuff, hyenas are scavengers. They often, go in packs, scavenging for corpse and so on. Now, this one hyena was eating. Now, this doctor was absolutely puzzled because how can this one hyena be eating this young, strong, healthy-looking zebra? She couldn't ignore it. Eventually, they chased the hyena away, and she drilled into this zebra's bone, and she took a sample. She went back, and then she examined the marrows, the bone marrows and everything. It turns out that this young dead zebra was actually ill. This young, healthy-looking zebra was actually poorly. Healthy on the outside, but dying on the inside. So eventually, it fell and died, and the hyena came and started eating. The word of God says in Hebrews 4:12, it says that, the Bible says that It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing souls and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. The Samaritan woman on the outside, she seemed fine. Her life was okay. She's just going every single day to draw water. But on an inner inspection of the word of God, it turns out that something wasn't quite right. And the Lord got through the, you know, through her bone marrows, through that word. How did Jesus advance the kingdom of God? He spoke the word of God. The word of God, not only does it reveal to us God, but it reveals to us ourselves. The word of God was a mirror to her. Now she was able to see her life. Her life. And look at this. Verse 28 says that, then leaving her jars behind, she ran back. She ran back into the city. She came to draw water, yet she leaves the water behind. She ran into the city and she says, come and see a man. Come and see a man who has told me everything about myself. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah? I like to think that she went back to the city and she says, come and see a man who knew everything I have done in and out, yet he still loved me unconditionally. Could this be the Messiah? Church, if the word of God can transform this Samaritan woman, it can also transform you and I today. If the word of God can turn this Samaritan woman into the first disciple and evangelist in Samaria, surely can do wonders to us in our lives. And the Bible tells us that many in that city believed because of her testimony. Many in that city believed because of her testimony. Here we have a woman whose story was complicated, who had a reputation, and suddenly the word of God can transform her to become an evangelist in a city like Samaria. Through her testimony, many believed. If the Lord can do it for the Samaritan woman, he can do it for all of us. He can do it for anyone. There's nothing that the word of God cannot do. Nothing at all. Nothing. Jeremiah 23:29, the Bible says that, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. The word of God is not my word like fire, like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. His word is able to break every single rock. Often we see people who seemed fine. We see people whose, you know, like whose hearts are, you know, are absolutely strong. We're like, no, this one, you know, they're not ready to accept the word of God. No, I'm not ready to advance the kingdom of God to such and such person. Or such and such person don't deserve the kingdom of God. But we learn from the master himself is speak and let the word do its work. Just in closing, a few years ago, I joined this company. Now, within the team that I joined, it was a very small team, a very intimate team. And then, as we would work, we'd have conversation, we'd be talking, we'd be laughing. And then, I'd always bring up the Word of God. I would always bring up the word of God. And then one day, this woman, she got sick of me. She really did. She stood up. She's like, do you know what, Ashil? Can you stop with that God stuff? We don't preach God here. This is work. It's not church. If you want God, go back to your church. Wow. I looked at her and I was like, oh, okay. I sat down. I was quite embarrassed. And the room was just silent. I was like, okay. Fast forward, a month later, 2 months later, one day, I was there doing my work. She messages me through an internal chat. Hi, Ashil. I wrote back, I was like, okay, so you come in with me with this. You know my answer will be God, right? Assent. She responds, she's like, Yes, I know. That's why I'm coming to you. I remember I produced a play here in this very building many years ago. It's called Amazing Grace, if you remember it. It's called Amazing Grace. I invited her to come and watch the play. Amazing Grace was about the love of God. She came and watched the play. When she watched the play, she took me outside through these doors. She was just crying and crying and crying her eyes out, because for the first time, she saw and felt the love of God. There's nothing that the Word of God cannot do. Church, it's easy to see people. People can put on barriers and everything, but we all have our wells and we all thirst. And when one thirsts, guess what? They'll come to you. You just have to be intentional, one-to-one conversations, offer them the living waters and speak the Word of God. Because the time will come when the Holy Spirit will draw them to you and they'll come. Whether it's you or not you, down the line, they will remember it. Because it is the Holy Spirit's job to convince and to convict. And it's our job to advance the kingdom of God by preaching, by speaking the Word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.